Time now for our press review with Leo McGuinn. Leo, you start in the UK, where several papers have a warning for Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
Yeah, it's a warning from Starmer to Russian President Vladimir Putin. As you can see by this I headline, Starmer threatens Putin with severe consequences if Russia attacks UK peacekeepers. It came as the PM assembled representatives of 31 countries at a military base in the UK in order to begin planning for a multinational force that could provide security guarantees to Kyiv as part of any future peace deal. The Times have a similar focus on their front page this morning. UK sends message to Putin. Defence Secretary John Healey warned that Britain has the power to do untold damage to adversaries with their nuclear deterrence. According to him, Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine shows why a strong NATO and strong deterrence are absolutely vital. I'll stick with the Times because they have an exclusive look inside the top secret shipyard that is building Britain's nuclear submarines. The shipyard located in Barrow, the northwest of the country. And this piece tells us what a boon it's been for that town because it's created over 1,000 jobs and 700 apprenticeships in just the last year alone. Dreadnought is one of the most complex engineering projects ever undertaken in Britain, which is taking place in Barrow. The boats that are being constructed are 153.6 metres long, roughly the length of three Olympic swimming pools in Carras. The first three already in production. They'll protect Britain well into the 2060s.
All right, Leo. Well, a little earlier we reported about the firing of the head of Shin Bet, Ronen Bar, in Israel, the head of the country's National Security Service. How is that being covered in the Israeli press?
We'll start with the more conservative press. This is the Jerusalem Post, who have a response from Ronen Bar, this letter that he used to respond to his firing. He's accused Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of posing a threat to national security and acting out of foreign motives. He's also accused him of obstructing the Qatargate probe. In his letter, Bar further accused the PM of harming the negotiations of the release of hostages still in Gaza by removing himself and the director of Mossad from negotiations. The Times of Israel have this rather damning statistic. Their survey tells us that over 50% of Israelis oppose Bar's firing. In fact, 46% actually say they trust Bar more than Netanyahu, compared to 32% the other way round. And some 45% say they believe Bar is being fired over that Qatargate investigation, a case in which Netanyahu's nearest political advisers are alleged to be involved in pay jobs for promoting the interests of the government of Qatar, of course, an ally and financial supporter of Hamas. I'll finish with the more liberal Haaretz, often critical of the government, unsurprisingly pretty scathing this morning. They have this editorial piece accusing Netanyahu of waging war against anyone who tries to protect Israel's fragile democracy. They say that because the Prime Minister is someone whose judgment can't be trusted, it's not impossible that his goals in firing Bar are to divert attention away from that Qatargate scandal. This piece ends by affirming that the protests that have taken place in Jerusalem over the past 2 days are the last line of defence, as the Israeli public is alone in the holding action it is waging to prevent Israel from becoming an autocracy.
All right, well, moving to another story that we're reporting on this Friday, the first ever World Day for Glaciers. And you found one particularly worrying study, Leo.
As reported by The Guardian this morning, glaciers melting could risk the food and water supply of 2 billion people, according to a new UNESCO report. Two-thirds of all irrigated agriculture in the world is likely to be affected in some way by receding glaciers and dwindling snowfall in mountainous regions. More than one people live in those mountainous regions. Of those developing countries, up to half are already experiencing food insecurity, which could be made a lot worse. Developed countries are also at risk, this piece points out. Le Monde have some more worrying statistics this morning, telling us that the world's glacier mass shrank again in 2024. 5 of the last 6 years have seen the most rapid glacier retreats on record. And in 2024, all 19 of the world's glacier regions experienced a net loss of mass for the third consecutive year. Norway, Sweden, Svalbard and the tropical Andes were amongst the worst affected. According to the UN, saving the planet's glaciers was now a matter of survival.
All right, Leo, you finish with the news that Kirsty Coventry has been elected as the 10th president of the International Olympic Committee.
Well, where else to start but in Zimbabwe, of course. Coventry's home country, that's a local tabloid, H Metro. They have an image of Kirsty Coventry on the front page with the headline, Kirstoric. After 131 years, she becomes the first African to hold the position, and she's also the first ever woman president of the IOC and the youngest in over 100 years. She's only 41 years old. She's made the front pages the world over. This is El País in Spain. And it was actually a Spaniard that she beat to the role. Juan Antonio Samaranch was actually considered the favourite by many, but it was Coventry who was selected in the end. I'll finish with L'Equipe, which is France's biggest sports newspaper. They have a photo of Coventry with Thomas Bach, the current president, on the front page, handing over the baton. He was a strong backer of the Zimbabwean. They bring us through the details of the ballot, with Coventry winning an overall majority by just one vote in the end. The ex-swimmer will be officially take the reins from Bach in June as he stays on to kind of smooth the transition. This piece finishes by saying that Kirsty Coventry, all too aware of the challenges that await her from the participation of Russian athletes in the Winter Olympic Games to finding a guideline for transgender athletes, and of course, not forgetting relations with US President Donald Trump, who medals in sport all the time. And of course, it's his country who will be organising the next Summer Olympic Games, LA 2028.
She certainly has her work cut out for her. Thank you for that look at the papers, Leo McGuinn.